Thanks for checking out the Open Sky Fitness podcast with Rob Dione. Rob is a personal trainer certified by the National Academy of Sports Medicine. He's a corrective exercise specialist and a performance enhancement specialist. Rob is also a level one CrossFit instructor, but he is not a doctor. If you got any injuries or medical issues, go see a physician. And when it comes to working out, it's always best to have a trainer watch your technique to get you started. So be careful, don't sue us, and enjoy the podcast. All right, let's do this thing.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Open Sky Fitness Podcast. I'm Rob Dione, and I'm here to tell you that no matter where you are in your life, you can always be healthier. And we're here to help you get there. Okay guys, so if you have questions about your own health and fitness, or if you have questions that you want us to ask our guests for you, write us on Twitter and Instagram at Open Sky Fitness with the hashtag AskOpenSky. You can also email me, rob@openskyfitness.com, or go to openskyfitness.com, and you can leave a voice memo right there on the tab on the right side.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting here with my lovely wife, Devin.
Hello again.
Devin is a holistic nutrition counselor and a gyrotonic instructor here in Los Angeles.
Here.
And guys, we have an awesome interview for you today. We're interviewing a fella named Ralph Sanchez. He's an author. He's written a bunch about Alzheimer's. You know, this is something that's very close to me because my grandmother on my mom's side has Alzheimer's. My grandmother on my dad's side has had Alzheimer's, and it's such a debilitating disease, and it really is scary, and it can be prevented, you know, with nutrition. So we're going to talk about that on today's episode.
Yeah. I mean, not always, but you have better chance of it, you know.
That's right. I mean, you have higher chances of it based on, you know, what your health is like, you know. But if you're in your 60s or 70s and you're trying to reverse it, it's going to be a little tough. But if you're in your 30s and 40s and it's in your family like it is in mine, it's time to start.
Yeah.
You know, it's time to start planning for that and really starting to take care of yourself.
Yeah, and at least you know you've done everything you can.
Right.
You know.
Exactly. So we're going to dive into that. But before we do, a couple of things. One is, you know, obviously this is a conversation. The conversations we have in here on the podcast are the conversations we have in the podcast community on Facebook. And if you'd like to be a part of that, head over to Facebook, look for the Open Sky Fitness podcast group, not the Facebook page, but the group. My voice just cracked if you didn't notice.
And it's kind of sexy.
Seriously? What are you attracted to? Are you attracted to 12-year-old boys?
No, but it's like, it's the cracking. It's just like, it's kind of, I don't know, it gives you that that moment of being a little innocent.
Okay.
Not so hard.
So anyway, head over to the Open Sky Fitness podcast group and you can request to join. It's a closed community and then we will let you in and you can be a part of this conversation. So that's one thing. There's also going to be a link in the show notes for that. So if you're interested, go ahead and check out that link. The other thing is I didn't really talk about it last week because it was actually came up very quickly for me. But I did Jay Ferrugia's Renegade Weekend. Basically, it was a weekend of what I thought was going to be mostly working out and business. And it actually ended up being way more than that. It's basically a weekend. It's only for guys where 12 guys get together. And yes, you work out and yes, you do talk about business, but it's more about self-realization. It's more about self-growth. And as you know from listening to the show over, you know, if you've been listening for a while, you know that this is something that I'm really leaning into these days. I've been, you know, ever since Charlie's been born, you know, as she was, Devin was pregnant and we were getting ready, we knew that there was going to be some kind of life shift and how I didn't know how I was going to go about that. And I did this. So I did this work, I don't want to call it workshop. It's kind of like this weekend intensive with these guys.
Like a weekend retreat.
Almost like a retreat, right? But, and I guess it would be for some guys because they actually, it was in LA, so it wasn't necessarily a retreat for me because I was still getting to come home. But the thing is that I realized there's a lot of roadblocks for me. A lot of the same patterns come up in so many parts of my life and especially in my business and relationships that I realized I need to really get out of my own way and allow myself to thrive. you know, I see this. It's so funny because we were talking about this. Like, I definitely put up roadblocks, right? I put up ceilings in my career that prevent me from believing in myself enough that I'm capable of doing something. Right. And we, mm-hmm. Devin and I, you and I talked about this last night. We've talked about this in the past, even though some people from the outside might look in and go, wow, Rob, you've done a lot of stuff. You've accomplished all these things. In my own mind, I have set limitations for myself. I'm not letting myself go beyond the place that I've kind of already self-designated.
Yeah. And then you get really upset when you meet people that are where you want to be, and you're constantly comparing yourself to other people and, you know, wondering why you can't be there. And it's this constant drive to be more than where you are right now,
yeah.
Which, you know, some people would say, well, that's a good thing. You want that drive, but it's not a good thing if you feel bad about yourself because you haven't gotten to that level yet.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, the podcast episode that we did, how long ago was the Perfectionist podcast?
A
month or two ago. And if you haven't listened to that episode, listen to it. If you struggle with anxiety like I do, if you struggle with things like feeling like you have to be perfect the first time, it's, you're literally setting yourself up for a lifetime of just hurt and pain and
suffering
and no joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a joyless life because you're constantly judging yourself. Anyway, this weekend was awesome. Jay Ferrugia does these every couple of months. It's six times a year. He does it every 2 months. I don't know if it's always in Santa Monica, but I highly recommend checking it out. If you do it, definitely let him know that I sent you, I recommended it. There's, you know, I'll put a link in the show notes to the event that I did. I think he still has it, it open to see, but he probably updates it every time, but it's like, you know, his podcast is Renegade Radio, but he sent me a direct link to this weekend event. So if you're interested in doing something like that and really trying to expand out, it's not just for fitness guys. There are guys that were, you know, some guys worked in the online world. Some guys were working, you know, just, you know, software engineers, things like that. You can
stockbrokers,
you can be anything. Yes, you do work out, but it's not mandatory that you're in great shape. So it was really transcending, and it broke open a lot of barriers for me. And now it's going to be a matter of applying, you know, mm-hmm. and really being reflective on what this is and what I've noticed about myself, and then applying that.
Yeah, I think that's the hardest part when you go on these retreats or you do workshops. You know, it's like you want that education to continue because, you know, sometimes it's hard to be self-motivated on keeping that, you know, kind of keeping a hold on what you learned from that weekend and actually putting it into practice through life. You know, it's easier if you're like, I mean, that's why school is every day and why they say, that we should have school year round, because you forget things and you do other things, you know? So it'll be really fun to, see how you take this information and continue to build on it. And grow.
You think school should be year round?
Well, I mean,
365 days going to school.
Well, I think that first of all, I think it's better for parents, right? Because, in parental stuff, like you can't take like 3 months off, but you can take a week here and a week there and a week, you know what I mean? Here and there. Mm-hmm. And what do you do with your kids in the summer if you work full time, you know, and your kids are home doing nothing? So I think there's one aspect of it. I mean, I don't necessarily know if I have an opinion either way, but I understand the other side of it going, you know, you're working on, I mean, I remember going to, especially like math. I remember one year, I was really great in math in high school, and between my 11th and 12th grade year, when I went into AP calculus, that was a hard course, but I had forgotten so much about the year before that I felt like I was behind in starting because it wasn't fresh in my mind. Do you know what I mean? So I do see the benefit of not having 3 months break time, but maybe you have a month in the winter and a month in the summer and a month in the spring versus 3 months all at once.
All right. That actually sounds like, that sounds pretty cool. And then you, because I agree. I remember having those same feelings now that you bring that up. I remember going back to school and feeling really overwhelmed in the beginning because I felt like I didn't have any traction and I had to relearn some things that I already knew I knew 3 months earlier. But it, you know, you, whenever you learn something new, it takes repetition. It takes practice to kind of lock it in. And if you had just learned it, you know, cause usually you're taking your test. So you got really good at something and then you leave. And you're gone for 3 months and you're supposed to come back and have remembered everything that you studied really hard for. So that's
yeah, it's like working out. I mean, if you don't work out for 3 months, you know, where's your body going to be?
Yeah.
You know, it's your brain's an organ. It's a, you know.
And it needs recovery, but like, just like fitness, we don't need 3 months of recovery.
Right.
We just take a week off here, a week off there, or maybe a month off from swimming. But then you, you know, if you're training for swimming, but then you're obviously doing something else during that month off to like kind of like, you know, some kind of alternate training program.
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyway.
Not off topic.
No, not necessarily off topic, but it is all about self-growth, right?
Yeah.
So this was a really important thing. So some things are going to change for me over the next few months, and I'm excited to, you know, share those things with you guys and really let you know how that's going. One of the things, obviously, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, was me putting pressing the pause button on the SkyFit challenge. It was taking up a lot of time, and I wanted to spend that time with Charlie, and now I'm really trying to reorganize my life to. I don't know, be more mindful of how I'm using my time. If you feel like you're wasting your time on so much shit in your life that's not important, you need to assess what is important and then get rid of the other shit. What's not working, what's not doing, what's not serving you.
And sometimes they're hard decisions. Like getting rid of the SkyFit challenge, we've put like
our
entire last year energy into that.
Yeah.
And we've built this community and we loved all the people in the community and we still love all the people in the community. And it was hard to just like kind of put that aside for a while and revamp. It wasn't like, oh yeah, that's easy. Get that off the plate. It was like, no, there was a lot of sweat and labor in there as well as, you know, caring relationships that we had developed. Yeah. So it's not, you know, we're not saying like it's an easy choice to get rid of your shit, but you gotta really look and see, you know, where's your weight being held that isn't giving back to you what you needed to give back to you in that moment, you know? Mm-hmm. And the SkyFit Challenge gave back to us a lot, but we needed something different. We needed more time. We actually needed more time and it was taking up the most amount of time, you know?
Gotcha. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I highly recommend this program, Jay Ferrugia's Weekend, for any fellas. Sorry, ladies, it's men only. And I'm going to put the link in the show notes for this because I don't know the exact link off the top of my head. But this was a great weekend. All right.
And I think that ladies have this kind of like, we're a little bit more open to doing workshops or girls' weekends where we do talk and kind of get into a lot of the stuff. And not to say that we don't need our own weekends, but I feel like there's probably a lot more out there. There's not as many out there for men that feel very manly, that is about self-growth, that still feels like, you know, that depth of soul for a man.
Yeah.
Different than the lady.
And I just want to let everybody know, I just found it because I got a text message from Jay. The website is called the renegadeexperience.com. And that's the link to it. Renegade, Renegade experience.com, renegadeexperience.com. That's the link. And then, you know, when you go there, whether or not you reserve your spot or you reach out to Jay, and you ask him questions about it, like I said, you know, if you let him know that I mentioned this on the show and you let him know that like this is something that you're interested in, he's a really cool guy. I have to admit, like I never really hung out with Jay before. I didn't know him in the past. I know that he's very, very successful in the fitness world, but he's super personable, one of the nicest guys I've ever met, and really does make you feel like important when you're talking to him. And he has that charisma about him where you feel like you're being listened to. And I think for a lot of us, that's a really that's a really tough thing to find in this world, is mm-hmm. having people that can help you actually care and want to listen. And Jay's one of those guys. So make sure to check that out. So it's the renegadeexperience.com is where you find that. And all right, let's do this. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right, we're going to jump into this conversation all about Alzheimer's with my buddy Ralph Sanchez. All right, guys, I have Ralph Sanchez on the line right now. Ralph is the author of The Diabetic Brain and Alzheimer's Disease, a book that connects the dots between type 2 diabetes, type 3 diabetes, and Alzheimer's disease. Ralph has spent nearly two decades intensely researching the risk factors and related etiologies of Alzheimer's, and his passion is to share his insights on Alzheimer's disease pandemic and how it can possibly apply to your own risk for cognitive decline as you age. Ralph, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Rob. It's a real pleasure to be here with you and to sharing the stuff that we're going to talk about with your audience.
Of course, of course. So just a little background, everybody. Ralph and I met at the New Media Summit back in April. I think it was April now. And he talks all about Alzheimer's and like basically, you know, cognitive decline and the connection between diabetes or type 2 diabetes, heart, you know, and cardiovascular disease and all, how all of that ties together with Alzheimer's. And as podcast listeners, if you listen to my show multiple times, I've talked about how my grandmother on my father's side had Alzheimer's and eventually died. She was old. She lived quite a long time in her 90s, but she did have Alzheimer's. And my grandmother on my mother's side now has Alzheimer's and is in a nursing home. And my parents can't take care of her anymore. So it is in my family. So this is a conversation that I really did want to have when I heard Ralph talk at the New Media Summit and talk about the research that he's doing and has done and some of the things that he's ways in which he's improved his own personal life, because he has a very similar background as me. I knew I had to bring him on the show. So Ralph, can you share with us some of your backstory? Basically, I'm always curious about how my guests fell into their current career, and you have a really interesting backstory that started probably back into the 80s. Am I right about that?
Oh, absolutely. I was in the landscaping field and was young and pretty dumb in terms of exposures to toxins and just about my health and taking care of myself. And what happened was I was using pesticides pretty liberally and did not realize what those exposures meant. And it wasn't long afterwards that I began that work and had that type of exposure that I started feeling just not well. And, of course, I didn't connect the two, but I started to look around for answers. And fortunately, I just intuitively felt that I had to go more the alternative route, and I did find a practitioner in Santa Monica. She was extremely well-known and in the world of a more progressive approach to health. She was integrative. And she helped me a lot, but the interesting thing about that, Rob, was that she didn't even connect the pesticide exposure to what was going on with me. So a lot of the things that she did with me worked. It helped me to feel better, but I wasn't really addressing the problem per se. And, you know, continued to look for answers in my own personal way through reading about nutrition and how to take care of myself and what are the foods and supplements that would help me along that path. And, you know, one thing led to another, and I wound up in acupuncture school. And part of the reason, there were two reasons for that. One was I really wanted to just learn more about health and how I could help people. And I was also just moving forward in my life in a way that I wanted to be in service. So, you know, the universe put me in an acupuncture school. And my mind was just blown open. The first year in acupuncture school, I just was amazed at the, you know, at the potential for my life in that arena of healthcare. And I, going into it, I knew it was going to be very integrative because, as I said, I had already been looking at and searching into the world of nutrition quite a bit. And so I knew I was going to be bringing in nutritional medicine. And I had been exposed to homeopathy, so I went on and got a credential in homeopathic medicine as well, too. But a lot of that journey was all about also just continuing to look at my own health issues and how to fix them. And the thing that really tipped the scale over to getting answers was immersing myself in the world of functional medicine, which I know that you're familiar with. And functional medicine just fit in beautifully into, you know, the Chinese medicine model and homeopathy, because it's all an integrative approach. And through functional medicine, what it brought for me was the understanding of how to use labs to really look at what's going on with your health in one way or another. And that just really, really made a world of difference for me, because I was able to look at and self-diagnose, if you will, a lot of the health issues that was going on with me. And I now had a much clearer path to fixing those problems.
Can I ask you, can I interrupt you for a second? So I'm curious, what were some of the symptoms that you were struggling from that made you take the steps to finding the answers? And then, you know, how old were you at this time? This was back in the 80s.
Yeah, I was in my 30s. So the symptoms were, you know, I felt like I had an ongoing off and on flu all the time, fatigue, mood issues, somewhat depressed at times, or just kind of a low-grade depression, if you will, and just felt crummy. You know, just was not myself. I'll never forget the time in my landscaping work. I was talking to somebody, and somebody mentioned, they said, you know, Ralph, you seem different. You don't seem like the light, happy-go-lucky guy that you once were when I met you a few years back. And that really struck me. You know, I go, yeah, you know, you're right. My moods and my whole way of interacting in life had changed. I just did not have the, what in Chinese medicine is called the qi, you know, the energy, the vitality. And what I didn't realize was, besides the pesticides, now, of course, the pesticides were huge, but at the time, those pesticides and herbicides were laden with mercury. And when I realized that through my research in functional medicine, I go, well, wow, that's a huge part of what's going on with me. Because I had already started to do detoxification therapies and other approaches to my health that made a huge improvement. And the mercury side of it, though, was another huge piece, because once I realized that end of it and did some testing and did see that my mercury was off the chart and I wasn't eating a lot of fish, I didn't have many amalgams. So those weren't significant sources of mercury. Amalgams are actually probably one of the biggest sources of mercury, chronic mercury exposure in people. And so in my mercury detoxification, I just noticed that that was huge in terms of how I felt. You know, so because mercury just is a huge blocker of metabolism. And so addressing that made a world of difference.
Got it. So, okay. So you're feeling, you know, and this is funny that you bring this up, because, you know, you're saying you feel like tired, or, you know, your energy levels were low. You weren't basically, you didn't feel like yourself. But the way you describe it is the way that I think most people would describe themselves now. You know, like in our 30s and 40s is when we just start feeling lethargic and we don't have as much energy. You know, maybe we feel brain fog and, you know, just like overwhelmed all the time. And you were, and this is back in the 80s when, you know, there's a lot less discussion about, there wasn't the internet. So when you say you had to start diving in and doing some research, you literally mean you had to go to the library and start looking shit up, you know, in order to find this information, because there was no other place to do it. And you had to either do that or find someone who had some knowledge and talk to them. So,
well, you're absolutely right. You know, my area where I did this kind of reading, because you're right, I was at the time, I didn't even have a computer. And so I was doing a lot of reading, just, you know, pulling stuff from wherever I could find it. and putting two and two together. This is before I started in school, but eventually I got the computer, was able to get online and start looking at stuff. And of course, functional medicine was a great model to frame all of that in.
All right. So into the 80s and the 90s, you're doing research to fix yourself. At what point did you start flipping it over to where you are now helping people with some of the stuff that you had suffered from or were struggling with?
Well, that was in the mid-90s. I graduated from acupuncture school in 95 and went on to create, right there in Santa Monica where I lived, an integrative medicine practice. And I did that for about 10 years there in Santa Monica. But as I mentioned to you in a chat previous to our talk here, I left Santa Monica to move to Northern California and gave up my practice. But, I had a practice in integrative medicine. And it was through that functional medicine and all of my work that I realized that I had a significant set of factors. They're called risk factors, the mercury and the pesticides. And when I was much younger, I had a serious brain concussion. And I had a car accident where I really hit the windshield quite violently. And in putting all of that together, my history, the pesticides and mercury, I started to think, wow, from all the information I've been gathering about all of this, this is really a significant problem for my brain as I get older. So coincidentally, and I think it's really a matter of the universe bringing things to me that moves me forward on my path. But I was at a conference led by a very famous person named Jeffrey Bland, the father of functional medicine. And I went home with his notes and was reviewing them, and I ran across something that he had put in there, which was a reference to a genetic risk marker for Alzheimer's disease called APOE4. And my eyes just kind of lit up when I saw that, because nobody at the time, this was back around 1999, nobody at the time was talking about risk factors for Alzheimer's disease. Hmm. It's just not something, even in functional medicine, nobody was talking about that. Everybody was into the cardiovascular and the metabolic health issue and detoxification and gut and all of that. But nobody was really talking about the brain that much and the issues that led to dementia and Alzheimer's as you aged. So when I saw APOE4, and it was a well-recognized risk marker for cardiovascular disease, and so it was very accessible. It was used a lot by more progressive, progressive cardiovascular physicians. When I started seeing all of that, I go, wow, this is really amazing. I just want to know more. And the more I dove into that information about APOE4, what leads to Alzheimer's disease, what are all the pathological mechanisms, I was just enthralled. I couldn't get enough of it. And so a light went off and I said, this is it. This is what I really want to focus on for the rest of my life in terms of a platform and an expertise for my work.
Your mom had Alzheimer's. Am I right about that?
Well, she went on to develop a vascular dementia.
Okay.
And that's because she had metabolic syndrome, which is very similar and often leads to diabetes. But she was, the typical person that just relied on physicians. She was an insurance, patient. And so you know what that's about, in and out the door, maybe do some basic blood chemistry and give you some sort of medication. So she was on a hypertensive, but never had any direction or guidance from her physician about her health issues. And so between the hypertension, which was somewhat managed by her medication, but all the other things. And I'll never forget also around the idea of the mercury issue that we had discussed in terms of me. My parents were immigrants. They immigrated up here from Mexico. And when they went to work up here, they worked in what's called a plating factory, which worked with a lot of metals, right? And so when I started to learn all of this stuff about myself, I used to think, oh, my God, all of this exposure that my dad and mom had when they were younger working in that plating factory, this had a huge component. This had a huge piece to do with their health issues as they age. My dad died of heart disease. And my mom had metabolic syndrome and went on to develop dementia. I think my dad probably, if he had lived long enough, probably would have had cognitive issues too. So history is really important here, right? Because whatever you have in your family, you're going to be more susceptible to. And that's what I learned in my integrative medicine pursuits, was that, you know, my history was really important here. As a matter of fact, my dad dying of heart disease really was, even that was way before I thought I was going to be doing anything in healthcare, but that really was impactful. That was like, wow, you know, dying this young, he was only like in his early 60s. This is not the way you want to finish your life, you know. He had two major heart attacks, and the last one was it.
Let me ask you this, and that's, you know, my dad has had heart attacks and started in 95. He's had multiple heart attacks, you know, quadruple bypass, stents put in, lung cancer, strokes. Like, my dad has been through the mill. And luckily he's still kicking. He's still surviving. It's, you know, it's taken its toll though. I mean, it's definitely taken its toll, but, it's, you know, I see that too. I see that it could be potentially the end of the road for me as well. That's the path I could have been on, had I not started taking other, precautions, right? And trying to change my lifestyle, because if you don't, this is the thing, we learn our lifestyles from our parents. We choose to either do the same thing or we choose to take a different path. But for a lot of us, the path we mostly take is the easy one, which is just do the same thing. It's unfortunate, but I'm curious because, you know, your parents were sent through the same system, the medical system. Can you talk about how the medical system is different from a more of a holistic approach?
Well, like I said, you know, particularly in today's world where you depend on insurance, you're kind of in and out the door. You go in there with a complaint. It's a diagnosis, if possible, and you walk out the door with the medication. So it's not a comprehensive, I'll never forget, and I have, you know, that information repeatedly emphasized in my book, The Diabetic Brain and Alzheimer's Disease, and I just finished a second book. But the emphasis in our world, which is more a healthcare model that, as you said, is holistic, and what makes it holistic is that it's patient-centered. In other words, it's focused on the person and what's going on with that person. It's not just about the disease. The diagnosis is very helpful because it puts into context what's going on with that person. But, you know, what led to that? What are the underlying causes? You know, what are the other factors besides what's going on in their body that may be contributing to this? What are the environmental factors? You know, what are the even the spiritual and emotional factors that are contributing to this? So that's the patient-centered approach, and it takes time to really understand that about a person and to be able to dig out that information and put it all together and arrive at, you know, a protocol that's going to be holistic, and it's going to take more time, but it's going to be, in many cases, a wonderful alternative to drug therapy.
Yeah, and speaking of the book that you have, the Diabetic Brain and Alzheimer's Disease, you were talking about how is it? And correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like you said somewhere in there, like 99% of people are treated through the medical system for Alzheimer's with drugs. And or 99% of the people that are treated with drugs, there's no change. There's no improvement. It doesn't help. It's just now they're on this drug, and it feels like the medical community is literally just using them as guinea pigs to see if it works this time.
Well, yes. The remarkable statistic there, Rob, is that 99.8% of drug trials have failed. So there is no pharmaceutical solution. And there's nothing on the horizon for Alzheimer's disease in terms of pharma. And the fascinating thing that I've seen here in the last 20 years is an evolution. Now the research and the progressive people in medicine are saying, whoa, this has happened just in the last 5 years or so. They're saying, wait a second, there is no pharmaceutical solution to this, and it doesn't look like anything is coming down the pipeline. We need to change our approach here. And with all the research that's come on in regards to the things that help prevent, like nutrition and lifestyle, and diagnosing some of the interrelated factors, risk factors that are associated with dementia and Alzheimer's disease. Like my book is all about how diabetes and heart disease are really probably the two main factors for an aging person and increasing the risk for dementia or Alzheimer's disease.
Can you dive deeper into that? Like, can you talk about the nutrition a little bit and how that's affected our, you know, what the cardiovascular disease and the type 2 diabetes?
Well, you know, as you know, Rob, the world of nutritional medicine is huge, both in the dietary part and the part where nutraceuticals are supplements that in a clinical setting can be used to manage healthcare disorders. So they're used by more progressive practitioners and physicians as an alternative to drug therapy. And it's remarkable what you can do with nutraceuticals and an integrated approach, which is, again, lifestyle and some diagnostics and looking at what the core issues are. But in terms of that research, there's just a huge amount of it in terms of the diet and nutraceutical end of it. And they've done human trials and animal trials where they've seen that, you know, let's say on the dietary part, the Mediterranean diet is huge in terms of an approach and a model for people to embrace and prevention for health disorders associated with aging, which is diabetes and heart disease primarily.
And what, in your opinion, the nuts and bolts of the Mediterranean diet, what would you say the factor is within that diet that sets it apart from anything else in terms of helping people with diabetes?
Well, that's a great question, because my second book, which I'm just wrapping up, is called The Improved Mind Diet. Now, what I saw in 2015 was a report on a couple of studies that were centered around looking at the Mediterranean diet. And these researchers had been inspired because of the results in studies using the Mediterranean diet and another dietary approach, which is called DASH, D-A-S as in Sam, H as in Harry, and it's called Dietary Approaches to Stop Hypertension. So they looked at those diets and the success they had, in terms of the prevention and modifying the risk for diabetes and heart disease. And they said, well, there's that information out there as well with these diets for Alzheimer's disease. So let's do some experimenting here with these diets. Let's combine the DASH diet and the Mediterranean diet. And they had a great deal of success. And they actually coined the results of their study as the MIND diet, in terms of those combination of foods from those diets, the Mediterranean and DASH. The MIND diet that they actually used, the MIND diet model, actually took a little bit of a different twist from, say, the Mediterranean diet, because the Mediterranean diet and the DASH diet emphasizes lots of vegetables and lots of fruit. And everybody knows that vegetables and fruits in a plant-based diet is really good for you in many ways. Not that there's anything wrong with meat. I want to make sure that that I put that out there. If you're eating free-range organic meats, they're great for you. But if you're not, then there could be a problem there. But, you know, many studies go on to emphasize that a high meat diet is bad for you. And that's really out of context because it's all about, you know, the diet as a whole and what else is going on there. And again, whether the meat is free range and organic. But nevertheless, in the MIND diet, what they took from the Mediterranean diet and DASH diet and modified was that they lowered the carbohydrates. So they eliminated the potatoes and the breads, if you will, from the Mediterranean diet. And they said, we want to focus on leafy greens and berries, particularly blueberries. And many of your listeners, and I know you probably do, Rob, that blueberries have been touted as a brain food here.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Superfood. So berries are fantastic because what berries and a lot of other vegetables and fruits have are a compound called polyphenols. And these are the natural antioxidant, anti-inflammatory compounds in foods. So when they shifted over to a leafy green, and the leafy green story is another story besides the berry story, but when they switched over to the leafy green and berry component, the MIND diet, they had even more success in their approach to prevention than the combination that they were experimenting with the Mediterranean and DASH diet. And so I saw that and I go, well, that makes perfect sense. But what I was inspired about in all of that is that, you know, I mentioned the carbohydrates in the DASH diet and in the Mediterranean diet. And we all know that certain people don't do very well with carbohydrates, particularly if they're starting to have issues with glucose and insulin metabolism. And so that's why the lower carbohydrate approach has really kicked in over the years in terms of a healthier approach to eating, because most people would tend to gravitate to, you know, junk food that are refined carbohydrates, and those are really awful for you. Whole grains are fine for a lot of people, but they're emphasized in the Mediterranean diet and DASH diet and other similar diets. So whole grains can be fine, but the refined carbohydrates are not so good. Nevertheless, you know, what a lot of these diets don't really talk about in terms of a more personal approach that would be the right fit for somebody is how certain constituents of those diets may work or not work for a person. And one of them is the grains. We all know that gluten can be bad for you, but a lot of people don't know that. They eat gluten-related foods, and those are the grains that are derived from wheat and barley and wheat, barley, rye, and oats. Okay, so I'm going to make a little point about oats here because what really grates me is all of this advertising that you see for gluten-free oats, and there's no such thing as gluten-free oats. Oats have gluten, and it's the same type of gluten protein that can kick up gluten-related sensitivities and reactions. So so a lot of this isn't discussed in these healthy diets, of course. So I came up with the Improved MIND Diet, which looks at, which really explains, number one, the importance of the MIND Diet findings, which is the leafy greens, and I you know, write quite a bit on the leafy green component to all of that and why it's so important, and the berries, of course. But I go into saying, now, these models are fantastic, but if you have a sensitivity, which you may not even know about, to gluten, then that may not be appropriate. There are other foods in a healthy diet that could be problematic for people as well, too. And we can get into that discussion, but really one of the most important things I want to emphasize here that my research over the years really really sort of brought to home for me was how foods are cooked. Now, one of the problems in diabetes is that that extra sugar that's floating around in your body that's so toxic for you, what that induces is a process called glycation. And glycation is the interaction of sugars or like blood sugar. But it's also a cooking model, and I'll discuss that briefly if we have time. But the glycation process is the interaction of sugars with the proteins in your body. So there's a marker that's pretty well recognized. It's even on TV a lot, A1C, or more appropriately, hemoglobin A1C. So that marker is used a lot in blood chemistry analysis to kind of check on people's blood sugar control, if you will. But really, it's a marker of glycation, and that's a marker of how much the sugar is interacting with that that hemoglobin protein. Well, that's just an example, because that's what's going on with all the proteins in your body, and glycation is a very deleterious process. So the more you glycate, the faster you are accelerating these aging and more destructive mechanisms in the body. And it actually leads to the formation of more toxic compounds that are called AGEs. And AGEs stands for Advanced Glycation End Products. Now, those are extremely toxic. And once you start forming a lot of AGEs, and there's a similar component to this whole process that occurs with fats, and those are called, excuse me, ALES, A-L-E-S, Advanced Lipoxidation End Products. So those are very, very toxic molecules that are produced in, you know, when there's too much blood sugar going on in the body, and also through foods that you're actually eating and how they're cooked. So everybody loves to grill, and everybody likes to brown their meats and stuff like that. And that's actually the same process. It's that interaction with sugars and proteins that creates that browning effect. It's called the Maillard reaction, very popular in cooking. And that browning effect, that high temperature cooking, is really toxic. It's just not the way to continuously cooking your meats. So it's something that I write about in the book, and similar to that is cooking with fats, you know. So a lot of people like to use vegetable oils and olive oils, and when you're cooking with those oils and fats like that, you can create some pretty toxic compounds as well, too. So those are the factors that I address, you know, that I often not talked about in a healthy diet, because you can have the healthiest diet in the world, but if you're doing these things, you're kind of like really not getting the full benefit of what you possibly can be getting from that a really healthy diet.
So, okay. So in terms of, I'm blanking on what people usually call it when they grill their meat and they, and they char it. There's another name that a lot of people call it, but, So this is one of the reasons. So this is one of the things we should steer clear of. But also, I was just going back here. And if you were to just give an idea of some of the foods that people should be avoiding at all costs, I just want to go back, which is, it sounds like processed food, right? You know, these.
Absolutely. You know, so all the, anything that comes in a package, you mm-hmm. know, is, things that use these refined carbohydrates that have flours and sugars added and perhaps some fats that aren't so good for you. So those are all the foods that you definitely want to be avoiding. You want to stick to a whole food model, you know, so you have to cook your food. You have to cook it from scratch.
And in terms of people that are – you know, let's say they're in their 30s or 40s, right? And they feel a little more lethargic. Let's not say that they have a specific thing that they're working on, because if they do, if there's something that they need help with, they should seek out some counsel. They should seek out someone, a holistic practitioner who can help guide them through that process. But for the average person who is just not feeling great and maybe doesn't have a whole food diet, what would you say would be the thing that they should transition into that would be the most effective for them in terms of seeing some, you know, some cognitive results, some physical changes?
Well, again, it's about what, let's say, the mind diet emphasizes. So, you know, a lot of these diets emphasize lower meat intake. And but really, the problem there, and I discuss that in the Improved Mind Diet, is that the meats that most people eat are not organic and free range. And those meats have a very unhealthy, what is called fatty acid profile. So everybody probably recognizes omega-3 fatty acids that come from fish. And like fish, you know, your healthy beef can have, now I eat buffalo and a little beef, but those organic free-range meats have a healthier balance of omega-3 and omega-6s. Now, the big problem, and that's what I discuss in the book as well, too, in the Improved Mind Diet, is the omega-3 to omega-6 ratio. That's a huge component to what has been studied as a problem in Western diets, you know, the sad American diet, the sad diet, which is, you know, too much refined carbohydrates, too many meats that have, you know, this commercial mass-produced farming origin, which is really unhealthy in terms of the kind of meats that you wind up eating. But it's basically, again, this omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acid ratio, because the omega-6, which are high in those types of meat, are pro-inflammatory. So you really want to be aware of your omega-3 to the 6 ratio. And that's why everybody emphasizes fish oil and omega-3s, because most people have too many omega-6. As an example of that is, studies have shown repeatedly that the typical Western diet has an omega-6 to 3 ratio that's 20, 30 to 1 omega-6 to omega-3. Whereas a healthier diet, more along the lines of a Paleolithic, you know, or healthier diet models like the Mediterranean, that ratio is going to be like 4 to 2 or 1 to 1. You know, so that's an important, really important aspect of, you know, a healthier diet and the meats that go along with it.
Yeah, and you know, we Devin and I, my wife and I, we definitely prescribe a little closer to. We call it like a paleo based diet. Is kind of how we approach it. The paleo diet officially is a high protein diet. I've had Dr. Lauren Cordain on our show, the guy who wrote the original paleo diet book, and he, you know, he's like, nope, it's a high protein diet. It's, you know, that's just it. And but we don't necessarily feel like that's the way we want to live our lifestyle. So we eat protein, you know, good amount of protein, but it's not basically 50% or more of our daily intake. So I'm curious, because I don't want to keep you on too long, but in terms of Alzheimer's, because this is what the book that you have available that people can actually download, The Diabetic Brain, in terms of Alzheimer's, right? And if you have it in your family, which a lot of us do, I am one of those people. What are some of the first steps that people should take if they do have it, as if it's potentially down the road for them? What should they do? You know, maybe kind of sum it up for us to make it, you know, something that we can digest easily, where they can start taking some first steps.
Well, again, diet and lifestyle. We didn't get into lifestyle, but exercise, Rob, and I know you speak about exercise a lot, but, you know, diet and exercise are the fundamental components to prevention.
Right.
And if you want to take it a step further, and like yourself, you know that there's a history there, and you're not in this world, and you really want to get more information about your risk, then you really should work with somebody. Go to a good practitioner that's going to guide you with some good tests. I really highly recommend genetic testing, like a 23andMe, which now does include the APOE gene. So you can find out if you have risks there. But methylation is very important, you know, so that's become huge in our world. So there's genes there that look at how well you're methylating. And receptors for vitamin D, how well you're able to, you know, assimilate and utilize vitamin D. So a lot of those genes are really important in terms of your overall health and cognitive health as you move along. And then your biochemistry. What I really emphasize over and over again is make sure your biochemistry, your glucose and insulin and cardiovascular, your vascular health is really in check. So you have to work with somebody to really look at that more closely. You have to look at things like fasting glucose and hemoglobin A1C. And I really recommend that if you're older and you have a family history of heart disease, that you do a more advanced what's called cardiovascular assessment, risk assessment, where they're looking a lot more closely at a lot of markers that are associated with risk. And those are all the things that are really important in terms of a more personalized approach, because that's what I continue to talk about in these books, is that it's all about a personalized approach. You know, there's the general approach, which is diet and lifestyle. And then there's a more personalized approach that a good practitioner can guide you along by utilizing some of these assessments to gain more insight into what's going on with you and potential risks for health issues down the line.
Love it. And, you know, and I think a good place to start is actually potentially picking up your book, The Diabetic Brain in Alzheimer's Disease. It's a good start because it's got a lot of scientific facts in there, really helps break down what's truly happening in our bodies and how we can connect the dots between, and this is even the subtext, is like connecting the dots, insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes, type 3 diabetes, and the pandemic of Alzheimer's disease, because I think it is a pandemic. It is taking over because of what we're feeding ourselves and the lifestyles that we do have currently as a society. Ralph, thanks so much for coming on. Can you let everyone know where they can find you if they want to reach out?
Yeah, thank you very much, Rob. I appreciate it. It's been a real joy to be on your show today. So my website is thealzheimerssolution.com. And I currently there have some resources that I just put together for your listeners. So they can go to thealzheimerssolution.com/OpenSkyFitness. And right there, I have a self-assessment form that I created, which is great to getting a little insight. And I offer a complimentary discovery session that's also offered there on that page. If people have questions, I can spend a few minutes with them clarifying some things for them, especially if their self-assessment results that don't come out on the wonderful upside end of it. And then there's I have right now a list that I'm creating because I took the books off of the downloadable section because they're going on to Amazon in a couple of weeks. And the improved mind diet is actually going to be a bonus to the diabetic brain and Alzheimer's disease. But you can get on that list, and in a couple of weeks, I'll let you know that those books are available.
Great. Excellent. And I think by the time, because we are recording this before my baby comes, because we're due in August for our baby girl.
Oh, wow.
So this episode probably won't go out until September or so. So actually, as you're listening to this, the book is probably ready. So I wouldn't wait a couple of weeks. I'd just go check Amazon and see if The Diabetic Brain is available. They can get their hands on it right now. So they don't have to wait. But Ralph, thanks again. Thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate you taking the time. This was really awesome.
Oh, it was great fun. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here with you, Rob, and talk about all this.
Thanks again to Dr. Ralph Sanchez for coming on. He's great. Like, he was just like a very chill guy. I met him, as I mentioned on the show, at the New Media Summit. And I knew when I heard him talk, I was like, oh, I gotta have this guy on. Yeah. You know, I'm always a fan of people that are trying to improve health, improve people's, you know, down the line with nutrition, like their health down the line. And it's all about preventative, it's all about preventative over kind of, you know, dealing with disease, but like that's already existing.
Yeah. Waiting till you're sick to deal with it, as opposed to just living a healthy lifestyle.
Right.
Like we abuse our body. And then we go, wait a second, why am I sick?
Right.
Instead of being like, I'm healthy. And I'll here and there do something, you know, that may not be the best for my body, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Rather than every day.
Yeah. So I hope you guys like that episode. Make sure to check him out. Guys, just to wrap this up one more time, if you are interested in checking out the Open Sky Fitness Podcast Group on Facebook, just search for Open Sky Fitness Podcast Group on Facebook. It's that simple. Just request to join. It is a closed group. It's literally just filled with people who are listening to our show. We don't promote the Open Sky Fitness Podcast Group anywhere else. We don't advertise it. I don't share it anywhere else. There's no advertising in the community. It is just conversations about what we are talking about, either on the show or things that come up for other people. And you've heard us, if you've been listening for a while, answering questions here on the podcast that have come up in the podcast community on Facebook. So make sure to check that out. We'll put a link to that again in the show notes. And one more time, guys, if you are interested in checking out Jay Ferrugia's his kind of weekend getaway, his renegade experience. That's for guys, a small community of guys that gets together once every 2 months. Well, it's a one-off, but he does it every 2 months. Then I definitely recommend checking that out. The website is renegadeexperience.com. Make sure when you if you reach out to Jay, just let him know that guys, the reason I'm bringing it up is because I just literally finished this today. I did it today. I think it's an amazing experience. If you feel stuck in your life, this is something that I highly recommend. I don't usually recommend shit this hard, but I'm telling you, if you are a guy out there and you're feeling stuck in your life and you just feel like you need someone to just see through all of your shit. Also, it's not just Jay, by the way. There's a guy in there that's like best friends with Jay since he's been a kid, this guy named Mike DeSanti. And Mike is like this crazy Buddha guru. That's an awesome word, Buddha guru.
Buddha guru.
He really is. Like, he's just one of those guys who he hears you talk about your life and all the bullshit, and then he sifts through it all really fast and like immediate gets to the core of what the problem is.
Yeah, you said he's been reading self-help books since the time he was like 13, right?
Yeah, when Jay met him, Jay was like something like 10 years old or something, and Mike was 13. He was actually Jay's older brother's friend. And he was meditating and reading like philosophy books at 13, 14 years old.
What was his high school like? Curious.
How would I know that?
I was curious. Awesome. Like, that would be a question. I'd be like, what was that like? Like, did it help at that time, you know, or did it put him in like a category of, you know, like the weird guy that meditates, or like, was he like really, really awesome in high school? Like really,
I'll tell you this right now. Like he's kind of the thing is that he's a dick joke kind of guy where he'll make jokes. He has no problems being funny like that, but he's also kind of like, spiritually a guru. In a sense. So he's very down to earth. He's a guy's guy. He's from Jersey. He's friends with one of the like the most fit, you know, fitness guys in the world. And he knows how to roll in that sense. But at the same time, he's very self-aware. And I think that comes from maybe the childhood being very self-aware and all the work that he does now. Cause I know he does nutrition. He teaches nutrition, but he also teaches, you know, self-awareness, gratitude, things like that. So. Cool. Anyway, let's wrap this up. I feel like we're pounding this down. So if you're interested,
I
know it's not even our program, guys.
But hey, when we're passionate about something, we want you guys to be involved in it too.
Yeah. So it's called renegadeexperience.com. And all right, let's wrap this up, guys. Next week we have a regular one-on-one between you and me. Did we decide on what we're doing yet?
We did not.
All right. Well, we're gonna put something awesome together for you guys because that's what we do. We do awesome things. All right, guys, have a great week.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, thanks for listening to the show. Tune in next week. We have another awesome Open Sky Fitness podcast for you.
All right, thanks for listening to the Open Sky Fitness podcast. Please check us out on Instagram at Open Sky Fitness, where you can follow Rob, link to the podcast, learn about upcoming guests, and post questions for him. You can also ask us questions about your own health and fitness, and we'll try to answer them on the show. For our blog, show notes, and more information about training with Rob Dionne, go to openskyfitness.com. Our music is by H. Scott Salinas. You can check him out at hscottsalinas.com. So for Rob Dione and the rest of the Open Sky Fitness team, this is Jeff Meacham saying that no matter where you are in your life, you can always be healthier. And we're here to help you get there. All right, I'm done.